Betsy. How are you?
Hey, Carmine, how are you?
Good. So another episode of Women. What's going on?
You got it. So we're here in the office of Julie Larson Green. We're in Building 50. And I'm going to have you introduce yourself and tell us what you do and your title.
My title is Vice President of Program Management for Microsoft Windows User Experience, or Customer.
It's too long.
It's way too long. It's actually Vice President of Program Management for Windows Experience Team. So I'm responsible for what most people think of as the Windows user experience, or the client part of Windows. We work closely with the Core Operating System Division to develop and deliver Windows.
So. Outstanding.
Wow. How long have you been doing that?
I started in Windows about last July, so almost a year. Before that, I was working on Office, on the new user experience for Office, and I've been at Microsoft for 14 and a half years, so I've done a lot of different things. I started in DevTools. I was a developer before I came to Microsoft.
All right.
Worked on Internet Explorer, FrontPage, SharePoint, and then Office, and now Windows, so done a lot of different things.
Very cool. Charles and I were looking at your book here, Dreaming in Code.
Oh, yes. I haven't actually gotten through it all the way yet.
But you're a former developer.
I am. I was a developer at a company called Aldus, which is now part of Adobe. We made PageMaker. Mm-hmm. I was a developer there for 6 years.
Cool.
And then came to Developer Tools and Microsoft and made the switch to program management at that time. So
how did you get into programming?
Let's see. I'm a business undergrad from Western Washington University, and I always wanted to work in computers. In fact, in my high school yearbook, it says, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said I wanted to get a master's degree in computer science and work at a computer company. And I had no clue what that meant, because I'd never actually used a computer, which is telling my age a little bit, at that point in time. But I knew it was cool, and it had to do with math. And when I got through school, I got a job in support technician for at Aldus, and just started learning programming on the side, and within a year I was doing developer support, and then I moved into writing code. Pretty much self-taught at that point, and then I went back and got my master's degree later.
In business?
In software engineering.
Ah.
Nice.
So I did that while I was working, and then after I finished that, worked there for a while, I became a development lead at Aldus. And has made the switch to Microsoft after about 6 years there.
So why the switch from development to program management?
Well, during my interview at Microsoft, they asked me, well, what do you want to be, a dev lead or program manager? I said, well, what's the difference? Because we didn't have program managers in my old job. And the job as a dev lead was very similar to what they described as program management, which is, you know, figuring out what we're going to build, working with development and testing to deliver that, working with design through the user experience, working with marketing about how we're going to talk about it, sell it. And I said, oh, that sounds like the part of my job that I really like. So that's when I said program management.
Hmm. Cool. Excellent. So how many people are in your organization?
We were just working on that yesterday. There's around 400.
And so what's it like top down, being in charge of program management? Like, we've talked to a lot of rank-and-file program managers, so we kind of know what it's like bottoms-up. What's it like top-down?
What's it like top-down? Well, the program management organization in Windows is more than just program management. It also has user research and design. We also have the user assistance team and product planning team. So those are all aspects of coming up with what the product's going to be and how it's going to work and how it's going to look and feel. So so my job is mostly providing a kind of long-term vision and direction for where we want to go, and then a team atmosphere to get people working together so everybody can give their expertise into the process and get as much IQ into the process. So PM to me is mostly about design, delivery, and evangelism of the product, and all program managers do aspects of that job, but some do more than others. My job is mostly about evangelism at this point, about what we're trying to get done and what we're trying to do, and then other people work on the more detail of the design and delivery, although I have lots of opinions on those things too. So
excellent. So you actually go to these design meetings then?
I was with one this morning where we're looking at some things we want to do with in the next version of Windows. Mm-hmm. So how you connect devices to Windows and some things that happen there. And
excellent.
Gave some opinions, but it's some pretty cool stuff going on.
Good. And you work for Sinofsky?
Yes.
Did you work for him in Office as well?
I did. I worked for someone who worked for him. in office. Worked for Antoine LeBlanc,
cool.
who is now running the office organization for the client side.
So are you? Is it? Are you mainly when you do your meetings with Sanofsky and his cronies? Are you? Are you basically one of the few females in the room?
Sure. I guess actually, I've always been one of the few females, even through computer science classes and things like that. Or actually, even starting before then, being the only. I came from a small high school in rural Washington, and one of the only girls in the advanced math classes and things like that. So it doesn't seem unusual to me. It's just kind of the stuff I like to do. But when I started in developer tools, I think there was only one other woman in the whole Visual C++ team at that time. So so there's more women now than I think there's ever been.
I'm sure.
But
particularly in program management, I've noticed that to be the case.
Right. So I think there are women in program management, marketing. We have quite a few in test in the Windows organization as well, and some in development.
Excellent. Cool. So one of the questions that we do like to ask is why? Why is that the case? Why were there only, in your opinion, I mean, have you thought about like why there aren't many women that actually come into engineering, software engineering? What is it that's not attractive to them, is attractive to you?
Well, I like math. I like technical problems. I like engineering. I think the number of women that like that stuff is just smaller than the number of men.
Okay.
My own daughter said math is hard, so I think it just depends on what you like, and there may be fewer women that like it. I don't really know. But
there's probably no universal answer, but the thing is, it's interesting, people have said basically the same thing.
Yeah.
I liked math.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a connection there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing
I like puzzles, trying to fit the puzzles together, and math, and both programming was like that too. Like the debugging was the most fun part. Figuring out the puzzle of what it was. And then now in program management, the puzzle is not only what is it should we build and is that going to meet the needs, but how do we get the team to work together in order to fit all the pieces together and make the right thing for the customer.
Excellent.
One thing that we hear a lot that is a deterrent for like young girls like still in school is that the nerd factor is a big turnoff.
Sure.
But that's changing, I think, because computers are everywhere now, like with Xbox and Instant Messenger, and it's in their lives.
Sure.
It's integrated.
I think one of the things I see, having a 14-year-old daughter, is that she kind of still thinks computers are for boys because a lot of computing is around gaming, and a lot of the gaming isn't really girl-friendly. Shoot 'em up isn't necessarily the thing that they like to do.
That's right.
But I think that's starting to change. I mean, she's very addicted to her PSP right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing more things on that. But and she thinks working at Microsoft someday would be pretty cool.
That's cool.
Excellent.
But you're a good role model.
I give her all my intern program questions during interview questions. I try them out on her and see how she does. She has a pretty good job. I think she could be a PM here someday.
All right. Excellent.
That's cool. So you were on stage with Steve Ballmer at the launch of Office and Vista and Exchange in New York City at NASDAQ. You gave a demo. Can you tell us about that?
What part about it?
I don't know. I was in the audience. It was really cool. Was that like...
Oh, it was fun. It was really fun. I was demoing both Vista and Office and how they work together and some of the similarities between the two products. And I had been in the Windows team for about 6 months, but I worked mostly on Office during that whole period. And it was really fun to get out there and show all the cool things that we're doing, and we got a lot of good feedback and applause on it, and it was pretty fun.
So we've been out there for, 6 or 7 months? What's the response been?
To Vista?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's going really well. Also, with Office, it's going really well. And I think we're doing much, people are taking the changes and the way you can work better with the products and really enjoying them and liking the things that we've done, so it's really gratifying.
How much of your job is thinking about the current versions versus the next versions? Are you done with the current versions and already on to vNext?
Well, you're not all the way done with the current versions because you're always trying to listen to the feedback that customers are saying about the things they would like you to do differently or the things that they really, really like to make sure that you don't change those things, too. But we are thinking a lot about the next version, what we want to do, and we've just started planning on that. So
your boss, Sanofsky, is known for providing a lot of discipline Is that something that is one of your big, you know, philosophies as well?
To me, it's about getting people to work together and getting things known. And so you know what the plan is that we're trying to build, and we know what it's going to look like at the end, and then going and executing on that thing. Mm. And so there's a lot of work to do in the upfront planning to decide what it is we're going to build and agree on what to build. And it's a large organization, a large team, but providing that structure of you know, figure out what you want to do and then go do it is really something I very much believe in.
Sticking to the plan once it's communicated?
Sticking to the plan, and if you need to change the plan because of new information, you have a plan to change from, and mm-hmm. you know what the changes are and the impact's going to be to making those changes.
Absolutely.
How hard is it to do that with, you know, an organization that's as big as yours?
Well, I think it's challenging in that people come from a lot of different areas of expertise and don't have all the same information. So one of my philosophies is you take a group of people, they're generally the same IQ level, and you give them all the same information, the same kind of result is going to come out from each person's thought process on it. And so that's kind of how we've started this release, is we just need to get everyone having the same background to drive decisions from. So understanding competition, understanding business needs, understanding customer needs, understanding technology and the possibilities that we have. And then it'll be much easier to make decisions about what we want to go do because everyone has the same sort of ideas about what the problems and issues and opportunities are. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, maybe a bit of a change for how the teams worked in the past. It's less about individual teams and their own needs and more about Windows as one product. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. The greater whole?
Yep.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So you're new to you're new to Windows?
Yes.
So what's the biggest difference between Office versus Windows so far?
There's a lot of similarities, actually. There's a lot of really passionate people that care a lot about customers and doing the right thing and you know, very proud of the work that they do and very excited about going forward. There's, I think the biggest difference is the amount of cross-group collaboration, and that's something we're trying to drive a lot more, so teams talk to each other a lot more in this model that I was talking about before. In Office, it's just part of the culture. That's how you go and do things. You wouldn't actually think of doing a feature without figuring out who else might care about it and getting them involved in it, mm-hmm. and that's a change, I think. Before, it was more individual teams mm-hmm. were deciding what was best for individual teams, and you only talked to another team if you absolutely wanted, there's something they had to do for you. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't more of a 1 + 1 = 3, it was more a 1 and a 1, and maybe you could take some of theirs and make it a, you know, it's a 1.5 instead of a 2 even. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the culture change that we're making, and people seem really excited about the possibilities of how that might play out.
Excellent. I mean, it definitely is going to translate into the architecture of the system, right? There's going to be less dependencies. People are going to know what
more
happens.
More agility.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep. It's good stuff. And one of these days, we're going to be able to actually talk about Windows 7 on Channel 9.
Yes.
And we'll come back and talk to you guys. Well, I mean, in all reality, you don't know what's going on. We're still, you know, you're still doing
it. Early.
It's very early still. There's still, we just shipped. We're still getting feedback on Vista and hearing what things we need to go do differently and what things are working out really well. And we got to get some more feedback before we know exactly where to go. But we are starting to work with our partners and customer forums and things like that. And mm-hmm. and we are making some progress on that. So
good.
Hopefully it won't be too long before we get to say more.
Excellent. Well, that's fine. And it's understandable. I mean, I tried to talk to Sanofsky about it, but understandably he's not interested. Because, as you said, a good program management plan would be figure out what you're going to do before you go do it.
And make sure we're really going to go do it, right? So we need to make sure that before we start talking about what it is, we can actually do what we say we're going to do, and that's a big part of the organization and the way we're going to think about things going forward.
Outstanding.
Cool. So what prompts a job change for someone at your level? So were you just tired? You had done it all? You needed something?
Well, I didn't go looking for a new job.
Yeah.
So I really loved working in Office getting the opportunity to rethink the Office user interface and put a team together to go do that and promote that across the Office organization was definitely a wonderful opportunity, and I loved it. And we weren't done. You know, we only did part of the full plan of what we want to do to reinvent the Office and the way people think and use Office. And so I wasn't done there by any means, but I got asked to move, and You know, my previous job was more about figuring out building the product and figuring out what the product was and doing some team building around that and cross-group collaboration around that. Mm-hmm. My new job is much more about building a team and less about the details of the product. So that's been a switch for me and a change for me, but I've spent a lot of fun and I've been learning a lot and just making a lot of mistakes. Oh, of course, making a lot of mistakes as well as hopefully doing some good things too. So definitely my big thing about when it's time to leave a job is when you've stopped growing or stretching or pushing yourself. And so if I wasn't scared about taking this job, then it probably wasn't the right job to take, but definitely scared.
And I mean, that's probably related to why you're a vice president, right? I mean, when you think about the trajectory of a career, you've always wanted to take on bigger and bigger tasks.
I mean,
you started as a program manager, now you're a VP. That's a great trajectory from a career perspective.
Sure.
So let's talk about that.
Think I've tried to stretch myself and take on things where I wasn't sure I could be successful, mm-hmm. but just take that kind of leap of faith that I could figure it out and that the skills, that I had some of the skills that I needed and I could learn the rest. And so I think all the way through, you know, same with even starting to be a developer. Mm-hmm. I was a technical support technician on the phones with customers, but I knew I wanted to have more impact. Mm-hmm. And for those customers, I could go fix the code, right? So I taught myself how to write code, mm-hmm. and with a lot of help from other people to help teach me how to write code.
Sure.
And so that kind of philosophy is just having more impact, and how can I have more impact for customers, mm-hmm. and how can I have more impact for Microsoft has kind of driven me to do more and more things. So it's been more about, you know, what I can do, and I really believe that Microsoft's the kind of place where if you work hard and you focus on the right things and you focus on what you can do for customers and mm-hmm. you can focus on what you can do for Microsoft, that the right things happen for you in your career. And that's kind of a, just the result of doing good work rather
sure.
than I'm focused on becoming a vice president and what do I need to do to become a vice president. It's like yeah. that stuff happens for you
does
if you're doing
does
the
that,
right things.
Does that ever happen though? I mean, do you think people really like, I'm going to be a vice president.
I don't
that's
know.
My goal. I mean, it doesn't seem like it could happen here. I mean, you have to, at
you
Microsoft,
really have to
you
focus,
have to show results.
Focus on the results and the external results for the company. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and you have to be a good leader, right? I'd imagine.
Yes.
Especially if you're building a team.
I hope so.
That's a good question, right? Like, what's a good leader in your opinion?
What's a good leader?
What makes a good leader?
Boy, there's lots of things that make a good leader. One is listening, adding clarity, reflecting back to people, the will of the team and what they're trying to get done and keeping people on track. But a good leader is also somebody that people want to follow. So you have to keep that in mind mm-hmm. at all times. If they don't want to follow you, you can't lead. And so you really need to understand what people are, what their aspirations are, what they're trying to get done, and then try to bring it together with what the business needs are and what the business needs to get done.
Mm.
And reflect those things back to the team to keep them on track.
Mm-hmm.
But I think being a leader is identifying what people are good at and then putting them in roles and places where they can do their best work and do the things that they're good at.
Mm.
And building a team that has a lot of diversity and a lot of different skills in it that you can actually achieve and work at a higher level than you would, if everybody was trying to make everyone the same.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So you mentioned that you're a mom.
Yes.
So how hard is it for you to find balance between work and home?
Ooh.
Is it a daily struggle?
Sure. I mean, every day, I love my job, and I love my work, and I love my kids, my family.
Yeah.
And so you're constantly struggling between I really want to get this done at work, but I also don't want to miss my son's PowerPoint presentation that the first class did yesterday. I mean, that was totally hilarious. I mean, it was really fun to see, you know, these first graders doing PowerPoint presentations in school. So so I just work my schedule to make sure that I can be there for those important times. I think I'm a better mom because I work. I mean, I definitely think I would be sitting on the couch watching soap operas and eating chocolates all day if I didn't have a job to do. I think it makes me more engaged and more interested and more efficient with my time, I think,
mm-hmm.
That way. But it's definitely a struggle. My husband helps out a ton. He's a university professor, so he has a more flexible schedule. But we trade off, definitely, who takes kids to school, who picks up, mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff.
So are you bummed that your daughter said math is hard?
The funny thing is she's better at it than she realizes. So
sure.
She's definitely her own person. So she's a freshman in high school, and so she has. She definitely has her own set of talents and things that she likes to do. I think that's the hardest thing for a parent in the first place, is not projecting your own things that you cared about onto your kids and letting them be who they are. And she has a lot of gifts and strengths, and she's a really neat girl. So
cool.
Whatever she wants to do. If she doesn't want to do stuff with math, that's totally fine.
Definitely.
Or computers or technology.
Right. Yep.
Great. I mean, I know a lot of people at Microsoft that studied English, and they're now either computer programmers or program managers or, you know, general managers,
right,
or whatever. It really doesn't matter.
Some of the best program managers I know have like music degrees and,
yep,
and other things that you wouldn't typically think of as, computer design or software design.
Absolutely. I mean, that brings up another question, because we talked about this before with, I think, Alyssa Murphy,
mm-hmm,
about the concept of program managers really galactic. I guess I don't know if that's the right expression, but there's so many different types of program managers.
There are.
There's the visionary types. There's the ones that do the spreadsheets and the PowerPoints, and they write the specs, and they're very organized.
Sure.
And then you have the ones that are more of a manager, kind of managing the dev team in some sense.
Right.
How do you go about figuring out where to put each of your people in those specific roles? I mean, you can spot the visionaries, right? You can spot the process freaks.
Right.
Or are you looking for a combination of all of that?
I think you're looking for a combination of all of that. I think in all the disciplines, there's people who will focus on different areas. So then in development, there's architects that like to think about the whole and how everything's fit together. There's,
mm-hmm,
people that like to do user interface development. There's people that like to do, you know, core infrastructure, or low-level networking, or things like that. So there's, in every discipline, there's, that's one great thing about software, is,
mm-hmm,
it's very malleable to the different things that are the people's strengths on the team. So,
mm-hmm,
you definitely look for, depending on the kind of role you have and the other people around you, what's going to fit in the team and make the team work. And so in the Windows organization, we have what we call these triads of dev, test, and PM that all work together, that are at the same level as peers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking first in that triad about the chemistry between those three people. So,
mm-hmm,
typically the program managers, the, you know, what should we build, the developer is the, is it practical to build that,
mm-hmm,
and how would we build it, and then the tester is, did we build it, and,
mm-hmm,
is it the right thing to have built? And so we want all three of those people to come together in sort of their roles. But if you have a development manager who's very into the design,
mm-hmm,
then you maybe need the program manager who's more in the, well, is it practical? So you're just looking for the strengths between people, because software is all about the people,
yeah,
and, you know, and the technology, but
sure,
but it's a lot about the people.
Totally, that's a great point. People build software,
mm-hmm,
right? At least today.
And it's more of an art than I think that we like,
yes,
to give it credit for. There's,
sure,
no formula for making good software.
That's right.
There's a bit of art to it, and so the chemistry between the people is very important.
Especially in something like an operating system,
yes,
yeah, galaxy of code,
right,
and different processes happening simultaneously.
Right. Yeah.
Very interesting stuff, and it is alchemical in many ways. Windows just happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of process involved. You better start asking questions. Now there is, right? Well, there always has been.
Sure, there
Come
always
on, that's
has
not
been.
Fair for me
the,
to say
the Windows team has been very successful in the processes.
Absolutely.
That they've used in the past have been very successful. So there, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. We're optimizing for more predictability.
Sure.
And I think you can innovate on a schedule,
mm-hmm,
if you're clear about the goals and the things that you're trying to get done.
Absolutely. And again, I mean, I was on Windows many years ago, and it's a super hard problem.
It is.
It's a giant amount of code that actually, it's amazing to me that we support, you know, 50,000 types of,
right,
hardware. It's, you know, Vista's very stable, XP was very stable, etc. You know, everyone's trying to attack us. You have all these interdependencies, super complex system. And it works.
Yes.
And it scales. It's really, really incredible stuff.
Amazing.
So,
I didn't mean
to belittle the process of.
It is amazing.
It's incredible.
It's easy to criticize, but it's really like amazing when you think about it that way.
Right. And the criticism, I think, you know, motivates the team.
Yeah.
We want to do better, and we want to be everything that everybody wants it to be. And I think that's really one of the reasons people choose to work on Windows, is that the amount of impact you can have, not only on the number of customers that use it and improves their lives and helps them do things they couldn't do otherwise, but the amount of businesses that also rely on Windows and the openness that we have to having lots of different hardware choices for people, software choices for people, just a lot of choice about how you get your computing done and the things that you do to improve your life.
Absolutely.
It's cool.
And actually Mary J. Foley,
Mary Jo,
just wrote an article. She's, you know who she is. She's the blogger, you know, type. And she had mentioned that Leopard looks like Vista. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know the way that Apple used to make fun of us in the sense of, you know, rev and start your photocopies?
Sure.
It's the reverse now. So that's actually a win. I mean, that's a cool thing in terms of user experience and design for Vista to see that type of article in the main press. Well, anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. It's very cool. All right. So continue.
All right, my last question is, okay, so in 14 plus years at Microsoft, what has been like the one or two things that have changed the most for you that you've seen in the company, like maybe culturally or for you personally? That's a long time. What's different, the most different?
You know, people ask me this usually during interviews for college hires or new hires. They'll ask me, you know, what's changed in the 14 and a half years? And to me, it's like, what's more the same? Like, the thing that's really amazing to me is how much it still feels like I have, like, every hour I put into it, I'm getting something back. I can see the results of that hour that I put into it. And that I still love working here as much or if not more than I did the first day I was here. And I think that's all about, you know, feeling that I can have personal impact on and that I make a difference. And so I think that part has stayed the same. Of course, the company has grown and there's more things that you need to do as a big company. We have, you know, other things that around reviews and all that sort of stuff that's I've seen a lot of changes over the time. But in general, the way that you work and the team, that feeling that you get from working together when it's all clicking is exactly the same and really not that different from when I was at a startup. Mm-hmm. It was really just you know, working with a smart group of people to try and change the world.
Yep.
And that feeling is definitely still there. So, I mean, what has changed? Boy, there's a million different buildings. I spend a lot more time going between buildings to find all the people that I work with. We don't all fit in one place. And there's more traffic and there's different food in the cafeteria and all the mailboxes are on one floor instead of on multiple floors. I mean, there's all that kind of infrastructure stuff that's different.
Right.
But I think at the base of it, developing software, it's the same as it's always been.
Cool.
Excellent.
Very cool. Thanks for you.
Thanks for me.
What do you think of this whole transparency revolution with, like, you know, 3,000 bloggers, Channel 9, basically change the world, but you can come along and help us change it and see what we're thinking? I mean, do you think we're going, have we gone, I mean, are we transparent enough? How's that question?
Are we transparent enough?
Can we be more transparent?
I think transparency is a good thing as long as, the only caveat I would have on it is there's a difference between what you're thinking about doing and what you're going to go do. And so sometimes our aspirations get in the way of what reality is. Mm-hmm. And so then that's not really being transparent. That's being randomizing.
Okay.
And so that we do have some responsibility to the industry to say what it is we're going to go do and be transparent about that. But we don't have to be transparent about the things that may get people pointed in the wrong direction and betting on things that aren't things we're actually going to end up doing. So we have some responsibility in the transparency aspect about what we say and don't say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And in some ways you could say that we were super transparent with
in
the past, which caused a lot of problems for people.
You mean
PDC
kind of stuff?
Being transparent about what we hoped we would go do and build, and then changing our mind later or not being able to do that, and then having to go back and manage expectations differently. So we don't want to set them unless they're something we feel we can really deliver on.
True. I mean, as we become more agile, we could throw something out and people are like, ah, like, okay, take it out. We need, like, have, you know, Windows beta. Go take the Google model. Anyway, I'm just playing.
Hard to run your business on Windows.
Agreed. I mean, you make a good point because we have industry-wide impact. So when we say right. check this thing out that we're thinking about doing, and the industry gets a hold of that and like, ooh, right. maybe we can make a bet on this and build our business plan around yes. it. And then we're like, ooh, just kidding.
That said, you know, we are being really transparent about working with those partners and things, about getting their input into the process yes. and making sure that we're not just squirreling away and all by ourselves and coming out with, here's the great plan. We actually want a lot of feedback and input into that plan so it makes sense when it comes out and people can be bought into it.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Totally.
Outstanding.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
It was fun.
Great to see a woman in a high position at Microsoft.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Do you know how many women vice presidents there are at Microsoft?
I'm not exactly positive. I think there's like 26 maybe, something like that.
That's good. How many vice presidents are there? Too many.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, 26 and growing.
Well, that's awesome. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.